Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, Father, thank you for coming at this. Our hearts, minds, all this in the world. We see the claims of the Lord. Our eyes behold the earth. And we all are in in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. So, this should be section 5, right? 4 or 5. Before the next one. Okay, John 1:1. John 1:1, are you there? In the beginning, John wrote and said, in the beginning was the Word. This should be the fifth section of what? Fourth session. Okay, this is the fourth session. Revelation of God. Okay, John 1:1. It says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
So, we said what John was doing here
was, John was doing an interpretation for us, right? He's actually explaining the Old Testament book, and it started from Genesis. It says, in the beginning. Hallelujah. In the beginning. That word beginning. We say when you hear that word beginning, it references the Genesis, right? Was that what we've been looking at? That it references the Genesis. So let's see a few things concerning that. Are you with me? So, you say it references the Genesis. Let's see. If you look at John's writings, 1 John 1:1, this is that in his epistles, 1 John 1:1. He said, that which was from the beginning. That which was from the beginning, that's the word that which was from the beginning, which you've heard, which we've seen with our eyes, which we looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. I believe it. When he says that which was from the beginning there, he was making reference to Genesis. Hallelujah. All the books are just in there. So, now it says that which was on the beginning. Is that what we read? Okay, so let's just proceed. So it said, John in his epistles still will use the word beginning to reference Genesis. Look at chapter 2, verse 7 of 1 John. 1 John 2, 7. It says, brethren, I do not write a new commandment to you, but an old commandment which you have heard from the beginning. When he says old commandment, he's not talking about when he uses the word old commandment, he's referring to what they've learned, what he has been saying to them from the beginning, the message. Do you understand me? From the beginning. So that's what we call an old commandment. Not that that one is God. No, it says the same thing. Do you get? Hallelujah. Because it's old commandment. Okay? We continue. Also find the word again in verses 13. He said, I write to you, Father, because you've known him who is from the beginning. Did you see that? Who is from the Genesis. Hallelujah. Are you following me? Who is from the beginning. Verse 34. That's in chapter 2, verse 34. Verse 34 now. 1 John 2. Should be 24. It says, therefore, let that abide in you, which you heard from the beginning. Did you see that? If you heard of the, I mean, if what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you abide in the Son and in the Father. So what have you heard from the beginning?
The word of life. Are you seeing that? That's what you see, the word of life.
So John is saying what you have in the beginning is the message, is the word of life.
He uses the word logon there,
is the word of life, the message of life. Do you see that? So we can say what Moses was talking about right from the Genesis is life from the dead.
I believe it's life from the dead. Life. Glory to God. Life.
That which was from the beginning. So it makes reference, he makes reference to what? The Genesis. Glory to God. Look at chapter 3, verse 8. Chapter 3, verse 8. He says, he who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. Mark that. The devil has sinned from the beginning. He says, for this purpose, the Son of Man is manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. We're going to get to this, I guess, today.
Hallelujah. He said the devil has sinned from the beginning.
What is he referencing here? Hallelujah. What is he referencing here? You have to read the next verse. What's the next verse? Let's go ahead. Verse 9. Whoever has been born of God does not sin, right? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So he goes into verse 11. So that we're reading it corner. Go to verse 11. So this is the message that you've heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of the wicked one and murdered his brother. Did you see that? He's explaining the sin. Hallelujah. You've heard from the beginning that you should not sin. So he says, who is? I mean, he who sins of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. So what is he referencing? He's referencing that action of Cain.
Are you following me? Remember when we had the teaching on, I've told us before, I guess on temptation, I said Satan is veiled in man's actions, right? We get to see that again today. Hallelujah. Satan is veiled in man's actions. Are you following me?
So where will you find, so if Satan is veiled in man's action, and now the epistles are explaining the attitude of Cain. Remember, the first point we find sin mentioned in Bible is where? In scriptures is where? Cain and Abel. Are you following me? Yeah? In the days, in the time of Cain. So that's where you find the first time you find the word sin used in scriptures. So therefore, listen, what John is saying is that that action of Cain, you will find Satan veiled in Cain's actions. Are you following me? I believe Satan is veiled in Cain's actions. Glory to God. And we are seeing, you know, as we progress in the revelation of God, not this series, we get to see also how around man's activities, you will still find Satan's action. Hallelujah. It's veiled. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So Satan will carry out his activities in the earth through men. Glory to God. Look at the temptation of Jesus. The temptation of Jesus, you know, what the synoptic wrote. You know, it's only Jesus that could have told that story. Also, was it in this series that we're talking about that?
Yes, sir.
That it was until the resurrection that some of those things were explained to them. Now, they were not with Jesus during the temptation, were they there? So, it's only Jesus that would have told that story, right? Now look at where Jesus told the story. Jesus told the story, and when they wrote it down, they will now write it down as it's a, I don't want to miss words now, but you know, it now becomes, the way Jesus will tell the story, he will tell it in, if you look at that story very well, you discover that that story of the temptation was actually all what Jesus faced within the time of his ministry. Are you following me? What Jesus went through all the time of his ministry, like turn bread, I mean stone to bread, you know, that was a test for him to do what he was not supposed to do. Hallelujah. He said, dear, Jesus responded, man shall not live by bread alone. Glory to God. So we'll find that in what? The actions of the Pharisees. The Bible said they came testing him. Did you get me? Hallelujah. They came testing him. So all those, the temptation, you will not see the temptation around
the activities of men against him. Glory to God. And Jesus told that story for them to know that Satan is veiled in those actions.
I believe.
If Satan is veiled in those actions.
So the action of the temptation within the 40 days would not be found in the ministry of Jesus. I believe. In the ministry of Jesus, in the activities of men.
Amen.
I believe. So the same way too, John will now read King's attitude, right?
And you say Satan, the devil.
Hallelujah.
You use the word devil. He says he has sinned from the beginning. And he's making reference to what Cain's action, who murdered his brother.
Are you following me?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Are you following me? Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. You know, even Jesus too, in John 8, will reference Cain's action and will tell the Pharisees that they are like their father, the devil. Do you get it? They are like their father, the devil. And who was he referring to? Was referring to Cain's action. I believe it. You see, he's a murderer from the beginning. So where will you find that? You find it in Cain. But Jesus is saying that action is Satan's action through man.
Are you following me?
Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. So let's proceed. So, don't forget our focus. We are looking at what?
Beginning from where? And we are looking at what? Beginning the king.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Okay, we also have in 2 John. 2 John 5:6. It says, and now I plead with you, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment, but that which you have heard from the beginning, that we love one another. Did you see that? Hallelujah. From the beginning, that we should love one another. From the beginning, Genesis. Hallelujah. Are you following that? You find it in Genesis, love. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. That same action, right? Revelation 1:8-9. Okay, Revelations. Are you in Revelations 1:18-9? Come on, it says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Did you see that? Says the Lord, He who was, who is, and who is to come. Hallelujah. I am the beginning, meaning I'm the one in Genesis. The beginning. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning. Are you following me? Glory to God. When you say I'm the end, it's not the revelation. Hallelujah. Are you following me? I'm the beginning. He said the Alpha and the Omega. I am that I am.
What did I say? I was, right?
Right?
That is interpretation.
Hallelujah. That is the I am that I am. I wasn't supposed to say that today. Glory to God. Okay. For the writers of the epistles, so we use words on a different shade. But you know, I told us something that you have to always go back to the Hebrew word, right? Because the Hebrew is the original. Was that what we've been discussing? The Hebrew is like the textbook. So you have to go back, look at how words are used, right? The way the word will be used in Greek will have an original word from the Hebrew, right? Right? So, now there are other, from the Hebrew word beginning, there are other shapes of the words you will find the writers of the epistles use. For example, in in Romans 1, in Romans 1, from verse 1 to 4. Romans 1 from verse 1. It says, Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called an apostle, separated of the gospel of God, which he promised before. That's the word afore. Through his prophets in the Holy Scripture. When he says afore. Through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, he makes reference to the Genesis. Are you following me? Promise afore by his prophets references Genesis. Genesis into Malachi. Hallelujah. Chapter 9. Verse 23, Romans 9:23. Look at Paul again. It says, he uses another shade of the word. It says, and that he might make known the riches of the glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had prepared beforehand for glory. Did you see that? Beforehand. When it says beforehand, he references Genesis. Are you following me? Hallelujah. The Genesis. Genesis 1, 2. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In 1 Corinthians 2, 1 Corinthians 2, verse 7. Use that word again. Ordained before the ages. Ordained before the ages. Ordained before the ages was not referring to time before time. No. Ordained before the ages is used for what? Genesis. Did you get that? Used for Genesis. He's referencing Genesis there also. Hallelujah. It says, he had ordained afore, prepared unto glory. Did you see that? Genesis. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And glory to God. Glory to God. Okay, Ephesians 1:1-5. I will switch my levels considering some things in this series. But something we'll later look at. Something along the line of predestination and things like that. Something small about that. But not today. Ephesians 1 from verse 1-5. What he said, he said, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints who are at Ephesus, the faithful in Jesus Christ. He now said, grace to you and peace from our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. Say, blessed be God, blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, right? Who has blessed us with every spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in himself before. Did you see that? Before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Who is he reading from? Genesis. Are you following me? You find it in Genesis. God's pre-plan. God's plan for man. You find it in Genesis. Right? Genesis 1:26-27. Hallelujah. Let's make man in our image, after our likeness. Let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the tattoos and everything, every creepy thing that came upon the surface of the earth, and Lord made man in his image after his likeness. He said, he created them male and female. Hallelujah. You find that in the Genesis. Hallelujah. Are you following me? Colossians 1:15. I will submit that Paul actually used in Colossians 1:15 a full description of the word beginning in the Hebrew. You find all there. He says, I'll start from verse 1 and say, in whom we have redemption through his blood. Say, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God. You see that? Image of the invisible God. He's referencing Genesis. And firstborn over all creation. Hallelujah. Firstborn over all creation. Still referencing that. He says, for by him all things were created. That are in heaven and on the earth, visible, invisible, whether thrones, dominion, principalities, and powers, all things were created through him and for him. It says, verse 17, and he is before all things. Genesis, right? He's before all things. Genesis 1:1, making reference there. And in him all things consist. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning. Did you see that? the firstborn from the dead, and in him he may have in that all things, in all things, he may have preeminence.
Glory to God.
Glory to God. So before all things, who is the beginning? He's the Genesis also. I follow you. The Genesis. In 2 Timothy 1:9. 2 Timothy 1:9. Very interesting. What he also repeats in Titus 1:1. Look at 2 Timothy 1:9. He says, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which he has given to us in Christ Jesus before time began.
You see that? Before time began. When you hear before time began, time began. No, it's Genesis.
Hallelujah. He's referencing Genesis. Hallelujah. God's plan. God's plan. He's talking about God's plan. Hallelujah. And how we are in God's plan.
God's plan in Genesis.
That was his reference. You find us also in Titus 1:1. Titus 1:1. It says, Paul, a bond servant of God and apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God, elect, and accomplishment of the truth, which accords with godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began.
Hope of eternal life which God promised before time began. Where would you find that?
Genesis 1. Hallelujah. That's where you find the promise from Genesis. Are you following me? Are you following me? Hallelujah. The writer of Hebrews 2. Are you still with me? The writer of Hebrews, Hebrews 1:1. He said, God who has various times and various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets. But here, in time past.
Referencing the Genesis into Malachi.
Are you following me? In time past. To the fathers. Hallelujah. 1 Peter 1:20. 1 Peter 1:20. Peter will use the word before the foundations of the world. The same Genesis. So all these before the foundation of the world are for, they are all synonyms that are associated with the word beginning.
Archaic. Are you following me?
Okay,
I trust the Lord that as we progress in our study, in our teachings, we will get to see that also.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. They are all synonyms to the word archaic. Hallelujah. So they are all synonyms. They are all similar words when you look at them from the Hebrew text, which will be the original text. Amen. Are we still together? Okay. So, when he says in John 1:1, in the beginning, the man goes to where? Genesis. Hallelujah. The man goes to Genesis. Genesis will be the beginning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, it has said, in the beginning was the Word, Logos. The Word. Logon, the Word. And that word Logos, is a word where, or that deals with a thought pattern. No? Okay, let me not use thought pattern today. Thought pattern for it. It's a word that deals with let me put it like this: a reason before an action.
Hallelujah.
A pre-plan, a plan. Hallelujah. The reason for an action. Glory to God. So it tells us a reason for an action that now forms a message. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The reason for. Now that word. The way John will now use that word. John will now use that word as what was now that pre-plan before an action will now be what the prophets, the writers of the Old Testament books, 39 books, will have as their message. Hallelujah. So that becomes a message. Glory to God. So when John now writes as in the beginning was the Word,
The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Right? In the beginning, in the arcade, was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word, Logon Prosios, in the Word points to God, meaning the reason is God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The reason is God. The Word is God. So, God's plan. So, can we say the Old Testament book or the 39 books will be the book of God's plan? Right? Right? Hallelujah. So, we concluded in the previous sections that when he uses the Word and the Word was God, makes us see that Scripture is God's story, God's plan. This is that God's story, God's plan, God's theology, or that is God's study. Are you following? God's story, God's plan, God's theology, God's study. So, because it's God's plan, we can also call it God's promise, right? Right? God's promise, because it's God's plan. What he will do. Glory to God. So, God can only be studied in the Scriptures. In the Scriptures. And how Scriptures are to be read is, there's a way Scriptures will be read, because the end point of what was said or what was promised is in Christ. Hallelujah. So Christology now becomes my theology. The end point of my theology. Now you see, we are taking it a bit. We are stretching it now. Are you following me? Huh? Hallelujah. We are stretching it, so you see it. Now the end point of my theology should be Christology. Are you following me? So Christology is the end point of my theology. My study of God must lead me to Christ. Are you following me? Glory to God. So when my study of God doesn't lead me to Christ, then I'm studying nonsense. I'm studying something else. Hallelujah. So the end point of theology is Christology. Christ. And we saw that the incarnation is what? That explanation. We find the explanation in the incarnation. Glory to God. So God is explained. So we say the incarnation is, and the Word, which is God, became flesh and dwelt amongst us. Was that what we said? Hallelujah. And dwelt amongst us. So what does that tell you? What does that make us see? He makes us see that, see, God himself explained himself by himself to us. Hallelujah. Jesus is God. Hallelujah. Are you following me? Jesus is God. That is the message of the Scripture. You can't say you are a believer. You can't say you are a child of God and you say Jesus is a kind of God. No, you are not born of God. Because Jesus is God. Are you following me? For you to be a Christian is that you believe that Jesus is God. Amen. That is the center of your belief. Jesus is God. Amen. Amen. So let's go over some things we've been looking at for a while. Hallelujah. So Jesus, we said, is God. Right? Glory to God. Glory to God. Is what we have is, in fact, all through Scriptures, when you hear Jesus is Lord, it is not downplayed. I hear it. Never downplay it. Now, I don't want to say it. Never downplay it. Jesus is God. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. We were there yesterday. Let's look at it again. 1 Timothy 3, 16. It says, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. We saw this yesterday, right?
Yes, my. Yesterday's notes.
Okay, are we there? Now it says, we were looking at this yesterday. So it says, without controversy, right? It says, great is the mystery of godliness. It says that what? God was manifested in Christ, manifested in the flesh,
justified in the spirit, seen of angels. Did you see that? Hallelujah. When it says great is the mystery, I mean without controversy, that word we said, we looked at it yesterday, right?
Turn to look at where I have it here. A second, just give me a second.
Okay, now it says that one without controversy. We said. We say yesterday that it was actually a wrong interpretation, right? Without controversy, it's actually a wrong interpretation, right? Because it doesn't fit in here. In our day, when you look at without controversy, it looks at it without conflict, right? That is what you get to read. But remember, we say you don't read your today's language into their world, right? You have to go back and see what is the writer communicating. Hallelujah. Mostly that is why we go back to the Greek, and then from the Greek get to see it in the Hebrew. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So when we went back, we looked at that word without controversy, is together, is the word homologion menons. Homologion menons. Or homologion menon. Hallelujah. Is the word that is used for confession, agreement. Do you understand me? To speak in agreement. Glory to God. Hallelujah. To speak in agreement. Now, and the Greek actually have it this way. Kai megas homologion menons mysterion huas desia. Is the one that actually means, and great is our confession of the mystery of godliness. That means we are not quiet about it. We call it megas. You get me? Kaimegas. Maybe great is our confession. Maybe we are not quiet about it. So the confession of God came in you in the flesh is not something you say as a waste, by the wayside. No. Hallelujah. Is the core of our belief that God became a man. Hallelujah. That's why we sing that on God, a man who died for men. Is the core of our belief. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He says, what is that? He says, God was manifested in the flesh. That is the word phanero. God was manifested. That is, God was made visible. Are you following me? God was made. Can you see? The apostles were not quiet about it. God was made visible in the flesh. Hallelujah. So you don't get quiet about it in evangelism. You don't get quiet about it when you talk. Don't put it at the wayside. God was made visible, naked. Hallelujah. You know, today we say naked. Ah, naked. But when you mean naked, it was made visible. Seen. Hallelujah. Nothing hidden. God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God was made visible. In the flesh, say justified in this, seen of angels, seen by angels, preached among the Gentiles. Glory to God. Believed in the word, received up in glory. So he was telling that is the core of our faith. Look at 1 John again. 1 John again, let's go back there. 1 John, are you there? Look at what he says. He says, that which was from the beginning. That which was from the beginning. What is Paul? What is John writing? John is writing for you to see that the beginning is actually a person. Say that which was from the beginning. Do you see that? Hallelujah. Are you following me? The beginning is actually a person. Say that which was from the beginning. Listen though. Look at how he now qualifies. He says, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes. So the beginning is what they have heard. Right? Right? So the beginning is the person. We'll explore that word soon. More in details. But not in this teaching. Hallelujah. Glory to God. See, that was from the beginning. What you see? What you heard, right? As a message. Right? The message. What you see? Eyewitness account. Are you following me? Eyewitness account. Meaning it's telling you the beginning. That was from the beginning.
we saw him. Did you see that? Are you following me? We saw him. Eyewitness account. Say so we've looked upon and our hands have handled him. We touched him. Are you following me? We touched him. That is the incarnation. The incarnation is God in man. God became flesh. Are you following me? Hallelujah. That is John summarizing what he has said in the synoptic from verse 1 to verse 14. He said it in one verse. Are you following me? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's see Peter. Oh. Second Peter. Got to look for you now. Hallelujah. Chapter 1, verse 16. It says, for we did not follow cunningly devised fables, but we made known to you the power and the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. But we were eyewitness of his what? Majesty. Hallelujah. Do you see that? Glory to God. Eyewitness account. It's about we receive from God the Father honor and glory. When there came such a voice from the excellent glory, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So whenever they write about that eyewitness account, they are telling you God was manifested in the flesh. Hallelujah. Are you following me? Are you following me? Glory to God. Glory to God. No. Sorry, second. Okay, let's continue. I didn't get to see that. So, whenever you hear them talk about their eyewitness account, are talking about the fact that God became a man. And that's what John will write in John 1:14. And the word became flesh. Did you see that? Which word? God is the word. And tabernacled amongst us. How did the word be construction? And was tabernacled amongst us. Glory to God. I remember when John will write like this, John is explaining what? The Genesis. Right? Right? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, down to Malachi. But look at it. When he said the word tabernacle, when he uses the word tabernacle, he's talking about what Moses' tabernacle. Do you see that? So he's telling that Moses' tabernacle has come to pass. It's the same word. Are you following? Moses' tabernacle has come to pass. That means that what Moses gave them as a tabernacle, I'm going into and I'm finding the gospel, don't worry. What Moses gave to them as a tabernacle is actually the word will become flesh. Did you see that? That God will become a man. So he actually symbolizes with the tabernacle. Are you following me? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the word became flesh. God and man. God and man in the same place. Did you get that? God and man. That will be Moses' heaven and earth. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Moses' heaven and earth has happened. Hallelujah. He said it to them in Genesis. In Exodus, he prefigures it for them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And then we see it in Christ. Glory to God. Hallelujah. It is, so he brings in what John has done for you, that he brings in some of those narratives or some of those narratives from Moses, especially. He says, and look at what it says, and the word became flesh. That is Moses' word, right? The word became flesh. God became flesh, man, heaven and earth, right? And tabernacle. To tell you Moses' tabernacle, this is Moses' tabernacle, right? And now says, I will beheld his glory. He has moved again to Numbers 33. We beheld his glory. When Moses said, show me your glory. That is it. This is that. This is saying Moses is saying all truth. Hallelujah. Are you following me? That is it. What is Moses talking about? He said, show me your kabod. Will you show me that which you will do? That is it. Hallelujah. Are you following me? Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. So now that incarnation now becomes, remember that incarnation is God himself in man, right? God himself becoming a man. So now that incarnation now becomes for us an explanation of the 39 book, because it is the arrival point. Are you following me? Hallelujah. Are you following me? So that incarnation now becomes what, look at how Peter will put it. He says, take heed as
you get your Bible again, let me read that from you.
Glory to God. Amen.
Okay. First Peter, quickly.
Second Peter 1, verse 19. Just a continuation from where we stop. He said, for we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto yet do well, that yet take heed as to a light that shines in the dark place. Did you see that? He calls the prophecy, the words of the prophets. No, the words of prophecy. He's telling you about the words of the prophets, inclusive of what Moses. Hallelujah. He said, you take unto it as a light, right? That shines in the world. That shines in the dark place. He said, until the day dawn. And the day star arises in your heart. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the way Moses, the way Peter puts it is the fact that when you know what, until the day dawn, it shows you that there is a, it's progressive. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The way it's revealed is progressive. There's a progressive revelation. And it says, till the day dawn and the day star arises in your heart. That means there's an arrival point of doom of all that they prophesied concerning, which is what? Christ. Are you following that? That is the arrival point. Hallelujah. Christ. Are you following? So Christ is the arrival point. Now, I want you to take note of this. That incarnation is a what? An explanation. How? Verse 18. He said, no man has seen God at any time. He said, the only begotten Son, right? Who is in the bosom of the Father. He said, he has declared him. He has explained him. So that means, what we'll find in the incarnation will be an explanation. Right, what do you mean? Will be an explanation of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. So let's go ahead. So also have this Acts 13:27-33, add that to your references. So we said, something also said is that, okay, so that is an explanation, right? And all, so that means Jesus' words, remember all Jesus' teachings will be found where? From the 39 books, right? Now, I told us, and I want to also say it again, that Jesus was not found coining his own words or giving us his new word. No. He just, what he did was to take up, because the words of the prophet, remember we said that the prophets were not speaking, Jesus was not quoting the prophets, no. The prophets were actually quoting him because those were his words, right? 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 Jesus is the word, right? Those were his words. So Jesus is now the... Now what Jesus is doing is that Jesus is explaining his words in the mouth of the prophet. Hallelujah. So all this teaching, all Jesus' teaching notes, all Jesus' teaching must be found from Genesis to Malachi. If not, he will not be the Christ. If he teaches from any other material apart from this, he's not the Christ. Because the Christ will have to teach from those materials, from these books. Why? Because those were his words. Right? Those are his words, rather. Are you following me?
You drop Pinocchio now.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you following me? Because those are his words. Now, I said that for a reason. So that means the words of Christ, right, his actions, right, we will find in his words and his actions, we will find God explained. Look at something before we get to where we stopped last week. I mean, did for yesterday. That was Saturday, right? Now, look at something you shouldn't lose. John chapter number 14. I'll read from verses 9. John 14, 9, quickly. I want you to see this. He says, Have I been with you this long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? Then he who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? And this is what Jesus is saying is that he is the Father revealed. God is revealed in Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus reveals the Father to us. We will see that shortly. Hallelujah. He reveals the Father to us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Something I need to say also before we get to looking at it is that the Old Testament, what we call the Old Testament books, the 39 books, are on their own self-explanatory. I said it before, I want to say it again. They are on their own self-explanatory. On their own. They can stand on their own as doctrine. Do you get? But you know, see, now part of the issues that a lot of people have reading the Old Testament book is their mental blockage, their own. And why do people have mental blockage reading it? It's because, first of all, is you reading your world into their world. Reading what is happening today, reading what you have, or reading your world into their world, you're going to have a whole lot of mental blockage, right? And then, I'll leave that for. There's something else. I'll leave it for subsequent. Hallelujah. I'll leave it for a reason. Hallelujah. Then number two is on the fact that, we have, if you look at the Old Testament books, we said this during the introduction, we said we have a lot of questions, right? We have a lot of questions. Questions, riddles, parables. Hallelujah. Parables, questions around. So that also will now let me put it the way I put it in the introduction. Let's just have it like that for today. I put it in the introduction from looking at Luke 24, or verse 44. 25 and 44. We said if Jesus went back to explain the 39 books, it means the 39 books are books that are in need of explanation. Why are they in need of explanation? Remember, he told them in Mark 16, he says he rebuked them for their unbelief, right? Then you know that there's unbelief, right? Two is the fact that he called them also to in Luke 24. He called them foolish ones, the guys on their way to Emmaus. He called them foolish ones, and that is because of unbelief in verses 22. Hallelujah. Into 23. He said, we were hoping that it would have been he. He showed that it's unbelief. Are you following? Unbelief. So, because of unbelief, unbelief, not just for them also unbelief to have unbelief too in the books, right? But that is not where I'm going to. But because of unbelief, you know, we can say the book is in need of explanation. Because I am trying hard to explain the pass across what I want to say so that it cannot be misinterpreted. But on its own, it can stand on its own. Are you following me? On his own, he can stand on his own, but yet he needed, he needs interpretation. Glory to God. Are you following me? He needs interpretation. So Jesus had to teach from there. He had to explain from there. Hallelujah. Are you following me? He had to explain from there. Same thing too with the epistles. But we now say, Jesus' words and action, we say, explains God. Right? But we have a disparity. Right? What I'm saying, we have a disparity. Jesus wrote no books. So you say, Jesus did not write any books. So how do we now get to see the explanations? Right? But no. Hallelujah. But no. He chose 12. That is fair enough, right? Fair enough. He chose 12. And it's for a reason. He chose 12. And he chose those 12. Remember, we did this study on Friday. He chose those 12 and he called them witness. Right? He made them his witness. So his witness will be, they will write about his story. Because there is a way Jesus wants his story to be told. He wants his earthly work to be told. Mark chapter 7, he told them not, he did a miracle and said, tell no one. And the Bible says they went ahead and told everybody. You see that? But he told his disciples not to tell anyone. Why? Is it that he doesn't want them to know what he has done? No. But there is a way he needed them to teach it. There's a way he needed them to tell it. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Because his story, Jesus' story, is theology. So it shouldn't be told anyhow. It is theology. Hallelujah. From the incarnation, in fact, from the genealogy. Are you following me? From the genealogy to the resurrection, it's theology. So you don't say it anyhow. It's not something you just go and broadcast anyhow. It's not Tatafo news. Hallelujah. Are you following me? You don't know what is Tatafo. Enjoy it. You know what is Tatafo? You don't know. My goodness. You know what's Tatafo? You know what I mean? Let me know if you understand it. Okay. Tatafo is the Greek word for saying things anyhow. How do you hear it? Just fucking anyhow. Glory to God. So that means in the world of Jesus, they had people who were saying, yeah, that guy, miracle, then, boom, 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 boom. Just come like this. Ah! You know that guy that we even told his son name to blind? You know that guy, Bartimaeus, that his name is blind Bartimaeus. Oh boy. As you know, some people say, you know that bros, Diaz, he was just walking like this, just give me that. Oh boy, Papa began to see. You know, it's a good story, right? But come on, that's not how you wanted the story to be told. When we begin to look at healing, you begin to see the theology in healing. Hallelujah, because there's theology in it. In fact, are you following me? There's theology there. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So there's a way it should be told. And they had to wait till the resurrection. So at the resurrection, when he was not explaining to them, the Bible says, and he opened the understanding, Luke 24:45, that they might comprehend the scriptures. Did you see? Oh, now they can now see it well. Did you get it? Yes, hallelujah. In verse 32-33, those guys on their way to Emmaus said, didn't our heart burn within us when he opened the scriptures to us? Hallelujah. Did our heart burn within us? He shows you that, oh, a lot of things became clearer to them. They now understood the scriptures. In John 2, when Jesus went into the temple and began to destroy and began to throw away those money changers inside the temple. Right? We looked at that. They didn't know what he was doing. They didn't know what he was doing. But when he said, destroy this temple. Now, look at it. They destroy this temple. And in 3 days I'll build it back. The disciples did not know come what he was saying. In fact, they would have been, faith. You know, their response, the response of the Pharisees was, it took our fathers 46 years to build this thing. 46 years to build one temple. How come you didn't destroy it in one? What? 3 days? I mean, you build it back in 3 days? You know, their mind went to the temple. I'm telling you, even Peter will have turned to Ike Chukwuka again. Ah, we know by again, drop it. Oh, you are not a new pom-pom master. Emoji, you become our coordinator. Emoji, you be the one paying salary, one combo every day. Passionate. Because it was a difficult task for them to do. But you know, at the resurrection, you know, John was saying, John wrote today, hallelujah. The man said he spoke about the temple of his body. They didn't know that until the resurrection. It became clear. Are you following me? It became clearer to them. So the same thing to a whole lot of things he did and he said to them while he was with them in the 40s. They didn't understand. So that was why, if you look at Luke 24, Luke was specific. He said, these are the ones which I spoke to you while I was yet with you. Hallelujah. So he tells that what Jesus is doing for to them within the 40 days, he's also re-explaining what he has been telling them within the time frame he was with them in the incarnation. Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. We really have what we want to look at today. But we're coming close. We're getting very close. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, those guys, now, I know how I got there, don't worry, I'm not going to ask you. So, now, he told them that he will be his witness, that he will tell his story, right? And there's a way his story will be told, from the resurrection, right? So the resurrection, we now say, now becomes for us that explanation. It becomes an explanation to how the stories of Jesus will be read, right? Will be understood, and also, Genesis to Malachi. The resurrection man tells us this is how it will be seen. That is to say, what they wrote will conclude on what Christ has done in his death, burial, and resurrection. Are you following me? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I never miss this up. I'm going to say it again and again. I'm going to say it for a long time this year. Don't read. I'm not telling you that Jesus is, you are reading Jesus into every verse of the Old Testament books. Are you hearing me? Not you go there and see, and this is Jesus. No, that's not what I'm telling you. I said the conclusion, right? Remember we said theology will conclude where? Where? Your theology will end up where? Hallelujah. Always take note of that. Hallelujah. So let me borrow a word. Christology is not the means in which theology is studied. Rather, it is the eventual conclusion of theology that will be Christology. Are you following that? Are you following that? So let's just move ahead as we come through. So the apostles will be saddled with that responsibility of what? Writing Jesus' story. Telling his story, right? Right? So Luke will now help us see that. That Luke in Luke 1 from verse 1 into 2, right? He said, what they have, what he is writing is what they have commonly believed, what has been told them by the eyewitness. You get that? So that means they will tell Jesus' story from the resurrection. Hallelujah. Not just that, they would write it because they would have to train. Right? Jesus told them Matthew 28, 18 to 20, raise disciples, right? Teaching them. So they will have to teach what Jesus is teaching not. Hallelujah. They will have to teach what Jesus is teaching not. And in teaching what Jesus is teaching not, they will have to explain the Old Testament books the same way Jesus has explained it to them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So what we now have as the epistles will now be the apostles teaching notes of what Jesus has taught them within the 40 days. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So that will be their teaching note of Jesus' teaching. Glory to God. Which will be explained where? The Old Testament books. So will their teaching note explain Jesus' incarnation? Yes. Will they explain the Old Testament books? Yes. So therefore, we now said the epistles. We will find the epistles as an explanation of the Old Testament books and the four gospels. But I know what we said? Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So, we began to look at some things. Right? We began to look at some things.
Where was I? Okay. Please, pardon my notes. I'm reading from different notes today. Okay.
So, we began to look at that word hardness of heart, right? How do we stop? Hardness of heart. So we went down to the fact that, see, Jesus' words explain the Old Testament books and his actions, right? Then we looked at Matthew 19. When he came to meet him and asked him, should a man put out his wife for any cause? And Jesus said, Jesus replied again, and I said, then why did Moses give us the bill of divorcement? Jesus now said, Moses, because of the hardness of your heart, right? Moses pros sclerocardia, he said, suffered you to put away your wife. Say, but from the beginning, from Genesis, it was not so. What was he talking about? So look at it, hallelujah. Hallelujah. So he said, from the beginning, meaning from Genesis, what we have is what? Man and woman found in Christ. So the marriage is actually God and man, heaven and earth. From the beginning, it was not so. Hallelujah. He said, therefore, what your God has joined together, let no man put asunder. But he said, let no man, but he's not talking about, if the word let no man is bad translation. But if you say let no man, not talking about your in-law, your father-in-law, mother-in-law, sister-in-law, uncle-in-law, all the in-laws. No. He said, let no man. He said, let nothing put asunder. Now, if the word let to is wrong, it's not right grammar, when you say let, it's conditional, it kind of. He says, what God has joined together, nothing can put asunder. That is what Paul, when I say, what can separate us from the love of God? That love of God is that union. Did you see that? Say nothing. I follow you. Say, what God has joined together, nothing can put asunder. That's what it means. Nothing. Nothing can divide. What has God joined together? Heaven and earth. God and man. And when you say God and man, he's talking about in verse 26, not tell you what that man is, and say you find them male and female created in them. Do you get it? Hallelujah. Are you following me? Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God. Let no man put us on that. But you know, we said there's something to look at there. Jesus said, Moses, because of the hardness of your heart. And we look at that word sclerocardia. Sclerocardia. You say it's the word that is used for what? Unbelief, right? Mark 16, 14. He rebuked them for their unbelief. Unbelief. You say that word sclerocardia is from another word, scleruno. A word that the writer of Hebrew will use in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 15. And chapter 4, verse 7, he said, let not, he said, do not harden your heart as in the day of provocation, where your father tested me, where your father tested me and saw my work, provoked me and saw my work. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
Yes, some of us are, Bibles are becoming tired. We have to start playing it now. You enjoy me quoting, right? You start reading now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So if, and whenever the word scleruno is used or sclerocardia is used, there is something we said you must see, which is what the gospel is in the background, right? The gospel is in the background. If you read Hebrews chapter 4, it says from verses, get that from verses 2 or thereabout. Let's open our Bible to Hebrews. If I could. I begin to read. Hebrews chapter number 4, quickly. Every one of us. Verses 2. It says, for indeed the gospel, did you see that? The gospel was preached to them to us as well as to them. But the words which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. So the opposite of faith is what? Unbelief. Right? Right? Hallelujah. Verse 3. For he who believed do enter the rest. As he has said, I swear in my Lord that they shall not enter my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. Hallelujah. Look at verse 7. Again, he designated the day, said today in David, today after a long time, as it has been said, if you will hear my word, do not harden your heart. So what will you find in the background? The gospel, right? Right? The gospel. So therefore, in the back, at the background of the word harden, you will find what the gospel preached. Now, take note of something. We said, this was what Jesus did to them. We're about to do what Jesus did to them on their way to Emmaus. Right? Right? We're about to take on that journey. What he did to the 40, his disciples in the 40 days, he took them back. That is, they will have to go back and reread the Old Testament. You see that? We have to go back again and reread. Now we've seen that hardness of heart is towards the gospel. Right? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For unbelief towards the gospel. Therefore, we can reread the Old Testament book and see the fact that everywhere the word hardness of heart is used, we're not going to impose the gospel, but you will see that the gospel is ministered alongside. Are you following me? You see that the hardness of heart towards God will be what? The gospel around. You find the gospel around. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So I will see unbelief. Right? Hallelujah. And unbelief, what Jesus has also shown us is the fact that when he says, Moses, because of the hardness of your heart, right? When he said, because of the hardness of your heart, it makes you see that the hardness of heart is man's work, is man's effort, not God's. You see that? It's not God that hardens. So we're going to see two things. When we get there, we'll see that hardness of heart is man's work, is man's effort. Are you following me? Glory to God. So let's look at Exodus 32 quickly. Exodus 32, 9. Are you following with me?
What we shall have, we collapse the two sections together. So we have about the effort to play out. Just
testing the microphone, you know?
I know you're not the one I'm
testing microphone. Exodus 32. Are you there? Let's see. Are you with me? Look at verses 9. It says, and the Lord said to Moses, I have seen that the people indeed is a stiff-necked people. Hallelujah. Now therefore, let me alone, let my wrath, that my wrath may burn hot against them, and I may consume them, and I will make of you a great nation. Hallelujah. First of all, who is a stiff-necked people? Stiff people, right? Who made them stiff-necked? Themselves. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In this series, we are not discussing the wrath of God. No. So let's leave that part, the wrath of God. But we'll get to see this scripture again, maybe next 2 years. Hallelujah. How is he talking to us about this? Again, hallelujah. When we hear the wrath of God, what does it mean? Hallelujah. Glory to God. And when God, when we hear, I will consume them. And you understand what it means. Amen. But I'll give you a bit of background this afternoon so that you will understand, that you will be able to read alongside. Glory to God. So, here we can see that the people were stiff-necked, right? They were. Hallelujah. And their stiff-neckedness was towards who? God. Are you seeing that? It's towards who? Was it God that made them stiff-necked? No. Now that is the shade of the world. Hallelujah. Unbelief. Hallelujah.
We'll get to explore that shortly. Chapter 33, verse 5, just the next chapter. It says, "For the Lord has said to Moses, say to the children of Israel, you are a stiff-necked people. Did you see that? I could come into your midst in one moment and consume you." Interesting. "Now, therefore, take off your ointment that I may know what to do to you." Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Glory to God. So who was the stiff-necked people here? Yeah? They, right? Right?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look at verses 2 into 3. He said, "And I will send my angel before you." This is God speaking. "I will send my angel before you. And I will drive out the Canaanites and the Amorites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Go up to a land flowing with milk and honey, and I will not go up in your midst, lest I consume you on the way, for you are a stiff-necked people." That word stiff-necked, we're going to see shortly what it means. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So when he uses the word stiff-necked people, is the word that is similar to the word scleruno in the Greek. That is the word stubborn. You are a stubborn people. Stubborn. That is hardness of heart. Are you seeing that? Hallelujah. Chapter 34, verse 5. It says that again. "Now, Lord, now the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name." I'm sorry. 34, verse 9. Sorry, verse 9. It says, "Then he said, if I now have found grace in your sight, O Lord, let my Lord, I pray, go amongst us, even though we are a stiff-necked people, and pardon our iniquities and our sins, and take us as your inheritance." Now take note of that. They are stiff-necked. Hallelujah. The children of Israel were called stiff-necked people because of their unbelief. We're going to see that shortly. Hallelujah. So, all the while, Moses and God called them stiff-necked is because there was a promise attached. Hallelujah. There was a promise attached. And they were stubborn towards it. Glory to God. Because there was a promise. And the promise, where is the promise? You find the promise in Genesis. Glory to God. And Exodus, read Exodus 6 from verses 1 into 9. You find the promise there. "I will take you out and make you this and death. So I will take you as a nation." But the Bible says in verse 9, they did not believe. Did you see that? That act of unbelief. Now that act of unbelief was not once. Right? I follow me. It was what they had repeatedly in the Exodus. They were an unbelieving people. That was why there was always a reminder, or there was always that name, stiff-necked. We're going to see that shortly. In Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 16. Deuteronomy 10, 16. I have a lot to look at today. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 16. Look at what it says here. It says, "Therefore, circumcise the foreskin of your heart and be stiff-necked no longer." It says, "Circumcise the foreskin of your heart and be stiff-necked no longer." This is an instruction. When it says circumcise the foreskin of your heart, you know, if you read how Paul would interpret it, when it says circumcise will not be used for physical circumcision. So what Moses is telling them, circumcise the foreskin of your what? Of your what? Heart. That is the word, your heart. He's telling them to believe. Hallelujah. That is the word for belief. Circumcise the foreskin of your heart. That is the word for belief. He says, now, meaning where there is faith, there will be no unbelief. So that you will be stiff-necked no longer. Did you see that? Hallelujah. So, in faith, there will be no unbelief. That's what he's telling them. So that becomes the cure for their unbelief. Faith. Are you following me? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just before now, look at chapter 9. Chapter 9 will actually help us. Verse 6. Chapter 9, verse 6. Look at what he said, therefore, understand the Lord, your God, is not giving you this good land to possess it because of your righteousness, for you are a stiff-necked people. Remember, do not forget how you provoked the Lord your God to wrath in the wilderness from the day you departed from the land of Egypt unto the day you came to this place. You have been rebellious against the Lord. Did you see that? You've been rebellious against the Lord. Verse 13. It says, furthermore, the Lord spoke to me, saying, I have not seen these people. Indeed, there is thick-necked people. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Why? Why did he say that? Look at verses 9, 10, 11, and 12. Let's look at that quickly. He says, when I came up to the mountain to receive the tablet of stones, which is God's words, right? Right? Amen. He said to receive the tablet of stones, the tablet of the covenant which the Lord made with you, and I stayed on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. I neither ate bread nor drank water. Then the Lord delivered me 2 tablets of stone written with the finger of God, and on them were all the words which the Lord had spoken to you on the mountain from the midst of the fire in the day of the assembly. This is, remember I told you, this is Moses teaching notes, right? Hallelujah. Let's go to verse 12. Then the Lord said to me, arise, go down quickly from here, for your people whom you brought from the land of Egypt acted corruptly. They have quickly turned aside from the way which I commanded them, and have made themselves a molded image. Did you see that? Is that not rebellion? Is that not rebellion? Hallelujah. And what did God command them? You shall have no other God before me. Did you see that? Hallelujah. Rebellion, unbelief. Did you see that? Unbelief. So, who is stubborn? The children of Israel. Is it God made or man made? Is it God made or man made? Man made. I didn't say man made. Man made. Hallelujah. Amen. 2 Chronicles 30, verse 8. Good to know that you are here. Verse 8, are you verse 8? He said, now, do not be stiff-necked. I want you to see this. He said, now, do not be stiff-necked as your fathers were, but yield yourselves to the Lord and enter his sanctuary, which he has sanctified forever, and serve the Lord your God, that the fierceness of his wrath may turn away from you. When he says enter the sanctuary, is that the new birth? Come on, is that the new birth? That is the new birth, right? But remember, it was not possible, but it was available. Hallelujah. It was not possible, but it was available, so you could believe for it. Hallelujah. So he's telling them to believe that you may do what? Let's look at that again. Verse 8. Why? So he says, you should do not be stiff-necked as your father were, but yield yourself, right, to the Lord. That is, enter his sanctuary. That is, believe. Hallelujah. So when he says, enter his sanctuary, something comes to mind. Go into the temple, right? Go into the temple. Go into the temple. Hallelujah. Are you following me? Glory to God. Are you following that? So the children of Israel were stiff-necked because of what? Unbelief towards God's word. Right? Right? Should we call it, can we say, because of unbelief towards the gospel? Right? The gospel was preached. Salvation was available, though not possible. Right? Right? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's see something else. Look at the 2 Kings. 2 Kings 17. We're coming back to Chronicles. Let's look at 2 Kings first. 17, verse 14. It says, nevertheless, they will not hear, but stiffness. They will not hear what? Let's start from verse 13.
Are you me?
Please, be fast. Start from verse 13 so you understand. Verse 13 says, yet the Lord testified against Israel and against Judah by all his prophets. By all his prophets. Every seer saying, turn from your evil ways and keep my statute, my commandments, right? Right? Would that be my word? Right? My status, my commandment. If you get to John 14, if you love me, you will keep my commandments, right? Which, what is the commandment? Believe in God, believe also in me, right? Right? Would that be belief? Come on, hallelujah, believe in God. Are you following me? I see the way we are reading it into the New Testament. And I said, we're going to do it like that for this section. Was that not what I said? That we're not going to read the Old Testament anymore. We are reading it together. Hallelujah. We are bringing it together. So that you see them together. Hallelujah. Are you following me? Okay. Where were we? Verse 13, right? He said, turn from your evil ways and keep my commandments and my statutes according to all the law which I commanded your father and which I sent to you by my servant, the prophet. Remember, the prophet will carry the message. The prophet will be known by what they say concerning Christ, right? By what they say concerning God's redemptive work, right? Right? Okay. So it says, to believe. Verse 14, nevertheless, they would not hear. Did you see that? They would not hear without the unbelief. Yeah. They will not hear, but stiffed their nets like the nets of their fathers, who did not believe in the Lord their God. Did you see that? Did you see that? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. You need to see that clearly. Hallelujah. In 2 Chronicles 36, verse 13. So it's towards the gospel. Can we see that? It's towards what? The gospel. Right? The gospel. 2 Chronicles 36. Are you there? Verse 13. And he also rebelled against King Nebuchadnezzar, who had made him swear an oath by God. But he stiffened his neck and hardened his heart against turning to the Lord God of Israel. Did you see that? So that stiff-neckedness was against who? God. Are you following me? Against God and his words. Nehemiah 9.
Nehemiah 9, quickly. Nehemiah 9, from verse 16.
Verse 16, are you there? Since both they and our fathers acted proudly, hardened their necks and did not heed your commandments. They refused to obey, and they were not mindful of your wonders that you did amongst them. But they hardened their necks, and in their rebellion they appointed a leader to return to their bondage. But you are God, ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger, abundant in kindness, and did not forsake them. Hallelujah. This Nehemiah, wonderful, right? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He made reference to what happened in the what? Exodus. Did you see that? They did not believe the message. Hallelujah. They hardened their hearts. But he said, yes, God is merciful. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is what? Merciful. Ready to pardon. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Psalms 95, verse 8. Psalms Are you there? Look at what it says. It says, do not harden your heart in as in rebellion, as in a day of trial in the wilderness, when your father tested me and they tried me, though they saw my works for 40 years. I was grieved with that generation and said, it is a people who go astray in their hearts, and they do not know my ways. I see that. Hallelujah. So it was man who hardened his heart, not God who hardened man's heart. I follow you. So it was not God who hardened man's heart, it's man who hardened his heart. Jeremiah 7, verse 26. Are you there? Jeremiah 7:26. It says, yet they did not obey me, nor incline their ears, but still in their neck, they did worse than their fathers. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So it is man who hardens his heart, it is man's effort. So you can say hardness of heart is man's effort, right? Jeremiah 19:15. It is man who hardened their heart. Also in Daniel 5:20. So thus far, we have seen the hardness of heart in the Old Testament book. Speaking of what? Man's effort. Did you see that? It's not God. Is it God? It's man who hardened his heart. And that hardness of heart is towards God. And when you say towards God, it's towards the message, towards the gospel, towards God's commandments. Are you following me? Hallelujah. So, it's something we're just going to see in some time in years to come. We discover that the Ten Commandments, what you call Ten Commandments, what you call the Commandments, look at the Commandments very well. It is the substance of the message of the gospel. I believe it's what we preach. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I believe it. Is the gospel, is the message. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Are you with me? So, now another thing we have to consider. A very important, crucial study we need to have is concerning the person called Pharaoh. Where some people believe that it was God that had been Pharaoh's heart. Remember I said we are taking on a journey backwards, right? Now we are seeing it. Glory to God. Was it God? The question is, was it God who hardened Pharaoh's heart? But before we begin to answer that question, we have thus far seen that hardness of heart is concerning unbelief to the gospel. Right? Right? Unbelief towards God. And it is man's choice. It is man's effort. Hallelujah. Are you following me? It's man's effort. So the question is, was it God who hardened Pharaoh's heart? We're going to look at that now. Exodus 4. second now.
Verse 21.
It says, and the Lord said to Moses, when you go back to Egypt, see that you do all these wonders before Pharaoh, which I have put in your hand, but I will harden his heart, so that he will not let the people go. Question. Was it God that hardened Pharaoh's heart? Remember I told you that when you...
I'm going to give us an
explanation on how to read some things in the Old Testament. I told us that, right? Hallelujah. First of all, remember we said the job of every Bible teacher is to do what? Interpret. Right?
Yes, sir.
The job of every Bible teacher is has the role to interpret. Just like Jesus on their way to Emmaus in Luke 24, 4, verse 27. Verse 25, it says, oh fools, and slow about to believe in all the prophets that have spoken. Say, of mother Christ will suffer this man to enter into his glory. And that's the beginning at Moses. And all those another prophet, he expounded. That word expounded the word diamenio. It means Jesus would have to interpret. The word diamenio means to interpret. He will have to interpret. He will have to. He carries also the weight of you have to explain the language. So the role of a Bible teacher is to interpret, explain language. Why? We have said that language evolves, right? Language over time has evolved. But you know what? The gospel is the same. Are you following me? And God will use man's language. And first, another thing we say you need to know is the fact that when the writer was writing, he was not writing to you. He had his immediate audience. Hallelujah. So he was not writing to you, but eventually he wrote for us. Hallelujah. But he was not writing to you immediately. And when he wrote, he didn't write in English. He wrote in his language, which is Hebrew. And in writing in his language, are you following me? He had the easy. In fact, Hebrew then and Hebrew now are not the same, because they you have to understand what the socio-cultural environment. Hallelujah. The socio-cultural environment, meaning he has his world. Hallelujah. He has his world. So you have to go back to that world. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let me ask a question that I did the last time, which he doesn't know. Do you know bat antenna? Bat antenna. Do you know what they call booster? You know booster? You know booster? Wow. Huh? Okay, what is booster? You are just following your hand, you don't know booster. You know booster that they attach to television? It makes you what? Make it clear, right?
Yeah.
She cannot go, she's an evil girl. You know, not this. Who's this one? Can this guy say this one? Hallelujah. Hey, I want to talk to you. Do you know what they call cassette rewinder? Rewinder. Rewinder. Do you know rewinder? Oh my God.
You are interested.
You know the winder? How is it? You know normal cassette, yes? Okay, soon it's okay. Explain. Explain. I'm
interested.
Yeah. Is it, I hope you understand what you are saying. Wow. Wow. Ancient of days. Oh, that you are. Okay, let me. There's something you don't know in this world. Do you know? Like it. Do you know those touchlights? The touchlight you know now is white. You know the one that is yellow? No, no. I must give you something. You don't know what is yellow. That's yellow bulb inside. Huh?
Okay.
Do you know that one? Yeah, that is happy. No, I understand your point. But do you know that one?
Okay.
Hallelujah.
Don't worry.
Hallelujah. Do you know what they call bituka? You know, toxic car. If I tell you, imagine I'm telling you something, I say, man, I was driving and cruising on my toxic car. How would you feel? Well, like, Shoti Yahweh, right? Toxic car, that if you enter this place, now you will do, right? And, okay, imagine I'm talking to you, I now say, I went in front of my car and I opened the boot to drop my luggage. What would you say? You say, front of your car, open boots. You know, you ask the pastor, sir, are you taking Tramadol? Because you know, boots is at the back. But in those days, in the early 90s, you have the boots in front. In Turkish car, the boots is in front. The engine is at the back. Hallelujah. Because now, so if I'm writing a good story and I put it inside, I know there's a typographical error there, right? But no, this is my world. Are you following me? So for you to understand what I'm saying, you have to come to my world. To understand that, in those days, that is how we used to do it. But in those days, if you ask me, if you wear a red cloth to the TV station, I'm telling you, no, you were black. Because our television was black and white. I never knew. See, you know this cartoon guy watch Reedy and Pooh, right? One horny guy. You guys might not know me. Okay, don't worry. Ah, you don't know it, and that is why they're looking at me like that. Okay, let me use another one. It was until recently, around 1999, 2000, that I knew Power Rangers had different colors. I watched Power Rangers thinking they were all wearing white and black. One guy was the only one wearing black until I knew that guy was actually red. Red? But I knew that's black and white because I was watching black and white TV. Well, I'll be inside. You get close to the TV, you receive a knock because the TV has scattered. So go back. You're meant to leave the TV flare. How about that for an for a story? You know, I'm not actually like, what is Pastor saying? Right? Huh? Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know what it's called, disket? Madam, I say, I used to start my computer with disket. I started computers with disket. And you have to power computers with disket. So we have four diskets. The first one, you know where to put them. So as you are starting the computer, you are putting the first disket. It gets to a place because the disket can only contain kilobytes. So you get to a place, if you don't quickly change it, the system will off, you have to start again. So as you get to that place, you quickly eject the disket and put in another disket. That is, we label it 1, 2, 3. So imagine I tell you, before I start my computer, I'll put 4 diskets. You'll be asking yourself, disket? Yeah? I just touched the laptop and the console. Right? But when you don't understand what I'm saying, now imagine I'm not giving you an illustration. I now put disket. In your head, you don't know what is disket. Maybe pastor is referring to. But today, if I want to make you understand, I will tell you what. I will tell you the USB drive. You say, pastor, yeah. I don't even understand. Now imagine I'm not giving you an illustration. I now said the guy's disket is empty. You like disket? And maybe I'm telling you that the guy does not know book. But because I've used my word to say the guy's disket, because disket was the means of storage. The guy's disket is empty. You'll be going around looking for disk plates, right? Right? You don't understand what I said. But what I was saying was in my word. So if you want to interpret what I said, you have to go back to my word before the laptop came. Hallelujah. Before you have Windows 7, Windows 8, Windows 8, Windows 7, Windows 8, Windows 10. Before you have Windows X, you have Windows Vista, Windows F. No, you've gone too far. Windows Vista, Windows XP, Windows 98, 95. No, Windows Vista, Windows XP, Windows Millennium, Windows 98, Windows 95. And then you met us in our DOS 8. DOS. Maybe I'm talking DOS. See, what is he saying? That is my world. So you have to come back to my world, right? To understand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The same way too, those of you that are talking about phones. They tell you those days you want to it's never in my world. I said they want to operate phones. They'll run it like I only saw it in movies. Have you seen that? Telephones. Sometimes you want to dial a number, you try that 1 million times and you call different part of the world. But today you can just get your phone, right? Just pray. Glory to God. You have spirit guides. Glory to God. Amen. So you see different words. So you have to come back to that word to be able to explain. So for you to get to that word, you have to understand how they use words in that word. Are you following me? If I use disket, you have to know what is disket. So there is a disket before there was a flash drive. Do you see that? The highest there, if you have 1 MB, like if you are carrying 100 terabytes today. 1 MB. You have 1 MB. Hallelujah. And before that, I had to play 1 PS. It was not PS, there was pre-evolution. No, not pre-evolution, there was one in Konami. Yeah, you are playing it today. Those of you are playing games, you will never like them. If you are playing it, it has robo. But we have to download it into like 8 diskettes to play. Are you following me? In there. The kind of games I play then, I played Monster Truck. If I give you to play today, you'll be having me. What is this nonsense?
Are you?
Because that was my world.
Are you following me?
Okay, that used to be my world. I'm in this world now. Hallelujah.
Amen. Are you following me?
But that was what was obtainable then. Glory to God. If you ask those people who fought in First World War, tell them that there's what they call cadet. But if you have someone else, what they call nuclear ammunition. Like nuclear what? Right? But did they use nuclear then? It's atomic, right? You don't even know what it is. Atomic, right? So you know that there's nuclear. So what is nuclear? That if you ask, if you tell my grandfather, who is late, let's say he comes and says, we are using, we have what they call power from the sun. He didn't even know power. He know, you know they call tuke lamp. That lamp that look like this thing. Do you know? Otunapa. Hallelujah. You have to come to my world. Maybe I'm right and I say, and I took the Otunapa. While I'm going with the Otunapa, the kerosene now fell. Say, what is Otunapa, sir? It is a means of light. Are you following me? It's a means of light. That was our light. Glory to God. Amen. I heard the story of someone, the person will hear this message and the person will be sad. But he said the person was told, I'm trying to quote it now, you never know the person. The person was told that when the person was given birth to, there was no light. So the first time they took the person, then the person was around 4 or 5 years. And that took the person to where there was light. The person stood for close 1 hour looking at the man. It is generation. Hallelujah. No matter how you crack your head, you never know. But the person someday is going to listen to this message. And the person was like, ah! He said it. Yes, I did. Hallelujah. So, the same way too. That means if you have to understand what I'm saying, you have to come to my word and interpret it. So if you have to interpret when I say the guy has got no disket in his brain, you have to interpret it into this world, you say, Again, no get sense, right? But I've used the language in my time to say something. So you don't have to do that work of coming to my time. Understanding the fact that there was nothing called all those stuff, CD-ROM and all those things in my day. So you come to my world and see the fact that I'm using this here to represent memory and interpret it in your world. Are you following? Now that is the role of every Bible teacher. Are you following? Bible said he runs like a beaten car. Or let me use another one. You see now you just say beaten car. Yeah. Okay, Bible said he runs like a beaten car. Like beaten car? What's beaten car? Today, look at it, you say, God, that means the guy was running very slow, right? But no, what he's saying is, if I'm interpreting my words today, I will say he runs like a Ferrari. You get, he runs like the lightning of a boat. You get, why? Why? Because in my word, the fastest means was what? A bituka. Are you following me? He is as strong as a Volvo. Volvo, you know what is Volvo? Or do you know Beach? I mean, do you know V-boot? You know V-boot? It's as strong as a V-boot. V-boot? But that used to be the strongest car. Are you following me? So you have to come to my world to know what is V-boot. Amen. Amen. Are you understanding it? So every Bible teacher is faced with that responsibility because the world has changed, but there is a message I'm passing across that you need to get. So Jesus too, when Jesus did on the road to Emmaus, was that he went back to the world of Moses, are you following me, and all the prophets to explain the fact of his resurrection to them. Now remember, Jesus' world and Moses' world were not the same. A lot have changed from Moses to Jesus. Number one was that they are no longer speaking Hebrew as official language. Moses spoke Hebrew. Jesus in his day, what they had was what? Greek and Aramaic. Now, Aramaic was actually like Pidgin. Generally, what we call Pidgin vernacular of today. So Jesus spoke both Greek and Aramaic. Are you following me? And then he's a native of Hebrew. It's just like the Igbo guy, like this guy that does not know Kedu Kambia. But he is an evil guy. You know what I'm saying? So he doesn't really know the.
I can't say that.
Because I don't have that proof yet. Hallelujah. So I can't say that. But he's just like an English Lagos born boy that is a Yoruba. I mean, that is an evil guy. Do you understand? So that's how Jesus was in his day. So that means Jesus is exposed to both Hebrew, right? Though that was not what was prevalent in his world. He also spoke Greek and Aramaic. Aramaic means he spoke vernacular. Are you following me? So now Jesus will now have to, now, not just that, the socio-economic sphere has changed. In the days of Moses, there was no, trade and commerce was not as it is in the days of Jesus. Are you following me? They were not under Moses wrote, they had Pharaoh, right? And they came out of Pharaoh. But now they had a world power. You understand? They were under the Roman captivity. Roman reign, Roman rule. Are you following things like this? So a whole lot have changed in the political sphere. A whole lot have changed in the economic sphere. A whole lot have changed in culture sphere. Now Jesus will now have to go back to another world to interpret Moses and all the prophets so that they would see it in their today world that they spoke concerning him. Are you following me? So he had to do a whole lot of what? Explanation. Glory to God. Now, if you read Acts 13, Paul will say they crucify him because they know not the language of the prophets. Do you get? Hallelujah. So language is important in what? Interpreting scriptures. You have to go back to the language. Hallelujah. All this I'm saying is so that I can explain to you hardness of heart. Glory to God. That when I began to talk, when I begin to say something, you understand where I'm coming from. Glory to God. Are you following me? Are you understanding what we are doing here? Eh?
Okay.
I needed all of us to be in the same place. So it looks as if I was concentrating on Christian, but for everybody. Amen.
Amen.
So let's look at something. Let's go on that note. Okay. Now, in Hebrew language, especially old Hebrew, I don't know about today, but in Hebrew language, something you must notice is that God's inaction is always counted as God being active. It's counted as God being active many times in the 39 books. God's inaction. Why is this so? This is because the Hebrew language doesn't give a difference between the permissive verb and the causative verb. We did an example the last time, which we're going to do again. The Hebrew language, there was no... Okay, so, in the Hebrew language, the Hebrew language didn't give how did I put it here? The Hebrew language didn't give that difference between the permissive verb and the causative verb. So they are seen together, whereas an action can be permissive, but the Hebrew language would put it to be it was causative. Let me give an example. We're going to use the same example. Come on. You and Deacon Timmy. Let's have a short example. Now, carry your Bible back. Now, when you say something is permissive, so when you say something is causative, it means that the action there is visible and seen. Jonathan, for example, hold this. Hold your Bible. Drag it from his hand. Now, first of all, let's do something. Face yourself. Now, you guys doing an SU here.
I don't want to get to this. I think I'm going to get to the SU talk. Like, I closed it in school, but I don't know
why
I said it.
Okay, now, give her the Bible. What happened? He gave her his Bible. Right?
No.
Right? So, if you are to narrate that, you say, what? Simi gave Patience his Bible. Right? Give it back to him again. Okay. Give it back to her again. So, who gave who? He gave her, right? Give him the Bible. Now, you know what? Hold the Bible like that. You take it from him. Now, if you are to translate that today, what would you say? No, you took it from him, right? I took the Bible, right? But the Hebrew will still say, Simi gave Patience the Bible, whereas it was Patience that took the Bible. Are you following me? The Greek will say that Timmy gave Patience the Bible, but whereas, what happened? Patience took the Bible. So there is no difference between both the permissive and the causative. Are you following me? They are both being seen as who? Because you took it from him, he was inactive. You collected it, right? But the Hebrew will put it as though Timmy gave you the Bible, meaning Timmy was active, or whereas Timmy was inactive. But that inactivity is being seen as him being active. Why? Because the action was towards him. Do you understand that? Are you sure? Okay. Do you understand it? The second time, the last time you're the example. Right? Do you understand it? Shalom?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Can we proceed? I have an example of my book. It says, take my pen, for example. Or I give you my pen. The Hebrew will read it as, I did give you the pen, right? But if I took the pen, the Hebrew will still read it as, I gave you my pen. Hallelujah. So the same way, God is mentioned because what was done was against him. Do you understand me? So, his inactivity, just like Grotimi was inactive when patients took the Bible, right? Will be counted as being active. Do you understand? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay. Very important, something you need to get. So that means many times when you use the word I, many times when the word I is used in an Hebrew text, you have to investigate it well. Because most of that I might be inactivity that is counted for activity. So you have to investigate well. Hallelujah. Are you following me? Most times that word I, that pronoun I, you have to investigate it well to know. Just like, for example, also, before we get there, one thing also is we have to carefully see, therefore, is the fact that I didn't want to say this, but I have it in my notes. I don't think it's material to say it now. Hallelujah. Because it could be easily debunked, saying things like human experience like to explain God. That would be at this point I wouldn't want to say that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because it can be easily debunked and thrown away. So for example, look at Job. Okay, let's have that there. Human experience, sometimes too, you might be human experience trying to explain God. Hallelujah. And then misses it out. Let's have that as that for now. Hallelujah. Look at Job. Are you in Job? Job is just right before Psalms. Look at chapter 1. Now, something has happened to Job. But before we look at what happened, verse 6, before we get to verse 21, verse 6, now there was a day the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came among them. And the Lord said to Satan, from where did you come? And so Satan answered, then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going through and through the earth and things like that. So I was just wanted to see what the writer of Job makes you see, right? Now look at verse 21. When that issue, now what happened was that Job lost everything, and Job quickly said in verse 21, he says, naked I came from my mother's womb, naked I shall return. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away, blessed be the name of the Lord. That's what Job said. Hallelujah. Oh, what I'm saying. So Job thought God took away all he had, right? That was what Job thought. But what the writers make us see in the background is that what Satan is in the background. Hallelujah. Satan is in the background. And not God. But God's inaction was counted for his action there. Because God did nothing. Did you see that? So the writer makes you see that it's Satan that is doing something. Are you following me? It's Satan doing something. Not God.
Does Satan go to take permission from God?
Not the teaching we have in this in this series, but maybe some other series I will progress. Hallelujah. Some other teaching, but not this one. Now you don't start cooking up questions to ask me tomorrow. Hallelujah. So you wait till we get there. Hallelujah. No rush, right? Hallelujah. Glory to God. So Satan is in the background. So God's inaction is counted for action. God did nothing. Right? God did nothing. So the writer has made you see that it's Satan. Remember at the beginning we said also in the action of Cain, right? Right? In the action of Cain, what John did for us is to make us, he exposed the one behind the action. Hallelujah. Behind Cain's action. Cain murdered his brother. But John writes for you to see that that action is influenced, right? That is, that there's something behind the scene. Remember that movie, Behind the Scene. There's someone behind the scene, hallelujah, who is veiled in that action, is the devil. Are you following me? So Satan is veiled in that action. Okay. So same way too, the hardness of Pharaoh's heart is not God's action, but the hardness is concerning God's word. So it's God doing nothing. You see, in unbelief, God does nothing. I said this during the last time we had this teaching. In unbelief, God does nothing. And then if God doing nothing, that is his wrath. But we'll get to explore his wrath. Is God doing nothing, that is his wrath? I follow you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So you can say in unbelief, God does nothing. In condemnation, so condemnation is God doing nothing. God being inactive. Are you following me? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Without God. So the word I will in Exodus chapter 4, where it says, I will harden his heart. The word I will actually is silent in that verse. Remember, we say you have to investigate that word I will, right? I will harden. That word is silent in that verse. It's just like in Exodus 15:26. Look at Exodus 15:26. We are going to explore Exodus 15:26 also in the coming days. Exodus 15:26. Are you there? And the Lord said, if you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God, and do what is right in his sight, and give ears to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, he says, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. Strange. What is strange there? He says, I am the Lord who heals you. Then he says, I will put none of the diseases which I brought on the Egyptians. Like it was God that made the Egyptians, or it was God that brought diseases on the Egyptians. Are you seeing that? It was God that brought sickness on the Egyptians, but that's not God. The major fact that Jesus heals the sick tells you God does not bring sickness on people. We answered that question last on Saturday, right? Was it on Saturday? Yeah, on Saturday. John 8, right? The man who was born blind, was it on Saturday or yesterday? On Saturday, right? So, you see, that act of Jesus healing the sick tells you God is not involved in making people sick. So, that automatically answers your question on COVID-19. It's not God. How
are you following? Not God.
So when he says, I am the God that healeth thee, is the word Rapha in the Hebrew. Is the word used for a physician. The duty of a physician is not to bring diseases on any. The duty of a physician is not to bring diseases on any. Rather, the duty of a physician is to heal, is to cure. So when the I am the Lord that heals you, the word I'm the Lord who cures you. Hallelujah. So the duty of the physician is to heal and to prevent sickness. Hallelujah. So when Moses says, that which I brought on the Egyptian, the word which I brought is actually silent. It's silent. Hallelujah. It's not God bringing it. Hallelujah. Are you following me? Not God bringing it. It is actually the diseases which came upon the Egyptians. It's not God putting it on them. It came upon the Egyptians. And it was self. It was man-made. It was each Egyptian pressing a self-destruct button. We get to see that. Hallelujah. Not in this series. Hallelujah. Remember we said we'll begin to go into questions about was it God that sent a flood to Noah and things like that. But we'll get to see that subsequently. I try as much as I can to restrict this teaching. And it's looking like not ending. Hallelujah. It's looking like not ending. I'm trying my best.
I keep cutting. I've cut a hole. I've pushed a hole. But it's not the ending.
What shall we do? Shall keep teaching. I hope one day we'll not have 52 weeks, half 52 tracks. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, the major part that Jesus heals the sick is the proof that God is not involved in sickness. Rather, his role is healing. Hallelujah. God's role is healing. So, when he says, I will not put, literally, I will put none of these, none of the diseases which have come upon the Egyptians will come upon you, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. Do you understand me? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God. So God's work is what? To save, right? To protect, to save. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So God rescues. Back to Exodus 4:21. So we will have to read through Moses to see if it is God that hardened Pharaoh's heart. We are not just going to recite ourselves to Exodus 4:21. We are going to see. Read Moses again. We have to reread Moses to see if it was God that hardened Pharaoh's heart. Hallelujah. So Moses is the minister of the gospel. The message. We're going to see if it was God that hardened Pharaoh's heart. So we have to reread Moses, right? Question will now be, who is Moses? Who is Moses? Who is Moses? So we have a whole lot to do tonight. Let's be fast. I'm going to be a bit fast. So who is Moses? One, Moses is a minister. Moses is a minister. A minister of the gospel. Acts of Apostles chapter 3. Let's see that. He's a prophet. He's a minister. Acts 3. Verse 22. Deuteronomy 18:15. Deuteronomy 18:15. 18:19. Moses is a prophet. Hallelujah. Acts 3:22. Say, well, for Moses truly said to the Father, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from the brethren. Him you shall hear in all things, whatever he says to you. So Moses is a prophet. Are you following me? A prophet, a minister. A prophet of the gospel. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So let's see Jesus. So what will Moses do? John 5:45, 46, 47. He says, do not think that I accuse you before the Father. There is one who accuses you, Moses, in whom you trust. He said, if you believe Moses, you have believed me, for he wrote concerning me. So Moses will carry, Moses will write, he will, what was written was thought of us spoken. I've taught us that, right? So Moses will speak concerning what? The message, right? Luke 24, 25 to 27. He says, all not the Christ to suffer these things, sorry, and enter into his glory. 27 says, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expanded unto them in all the scriptural things concerning himself. So Moses will carry the message. You see that? Romans 1, 1 to 4. The prophet will be known by what he said concerning the gospel of God. So what will Moses preach? What will Moses minister? He will minister the gospel of God, the message of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And Jesus said, Moses wrote concerning me. So that means what Moses have in view, or what you have in Moses' writing, put together will be salvation in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God's salvation plan. So, in Christ Jesus will be the interpretation. Hallelujah. It's God's salvation plan. So remember, we said the word is towards, so remember we say hardness of heart is towards the gospel preached, right? Right? We're going to see that very soon. So therefore, does it mean, what did God, what did Moses get to take to Pharaoh? When God sent Moses to Pharaoh, was he to go and tell Pharaoh like he sang in school? Go down, go down, go down to Egypt and tell Pharaoh, Pharaoh, let my people go. So Moses just get to Pharaoh, Pharaoh! Let my people go, see the God of the Israelites. Was that what Moses did? That's not what Moses did. Moses went to Pharaoh with the message of the gospel. We're going to see that now. Hallelujah. He went to him with the message of the gospel. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Something is leading me to Exodus 3. Let me just have it at the back of your notes. Exodus 3 level. Okay, yeah, just what I just said. Yeah. For Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? Hallelujah. So if not, go to Pharaoh and tell Pharaoh, now people go, no. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We're going to see that shortly. But in chapter 7, verse 22, but definitely what Moses went to tell Pharaoh was the message of the gospel of what God will do. When I say the message of the gospel, it's concerning God's redemption plan for all the earth. Remember, Moses wrote Genesis, right? Right? Wrote Genesis. To them, Genesis, and was talking about what he spoke about in Genesis was God's redemptive plan, right? We saw God's redemptive plan, and also in the activities of men. So very important. So that means what Moses would take to Pharaoh will be the same message in Genesis, with God's message in Genesis. We'll get to see that also. We'll get to see that. Come on, we'll get to see that. We'll be the message in Genesis. So let's look at something. Exodus 7:22, quickly. Some things I have to be fast because I have to round up Pharaoh now. Okay, end this now. Maybe on Saturday. Saturday we'll have two sessions again. We shall have to say. So let's begin to draw the curtain here, that I don't get into what I cannot finish. Exodus 7:22. Give me the word. 22. And the magicians of Egypt did so with the enchantment, and Pharaoh's heart grew hard. Whose heart grew hard? Pharaoh's heart grew hard and did not heed to them, as the Lord has said. Pharaoh's heart grew Pharaoh's heart grew. Is it the Lord that hardened it? Pharaoh's heart grew hard. Self, right? Chapter 8, verse 19. Then the magician said to Pharaoh, "This is the finger of God." For Pharaoh's heart grew hard and did not heal them, just as the Lord has said. So, what God said to Moses, and you have, "I will harden the heart of Pharaoh." That word, remember, is the word "I" is silent. So, God was speaking ahead of time to Moses, telling Moses that Pharaoh's heart will be hardened, not God hardening his heart. God is already preparing Moses' mind ahead of time that Pharaoh's heart will be hardened. So, he will not be surprised. Are you following me? Hallelujah. So that is why you find, "as the Lord has said." So as the Lord has said will be, the Lord has said it ahead of time that his heart will be hardened. Are you following me? But not God hardening in Pharaoh's heart, Pharaoh doing it himself. For God is mentioned because it's the attitude or the action is towards God. Are you following me? The action is towards God. And that is unbelief towards the message. Do you get it? So Moses' message to Pharaoh will be the message in Genesis of God's plan, God's redemption plan, and in doing that, the children of Israel will have to leave Egypt as a what? As a sign of it. Are you following? Glory to God. Are you following that? Glory to God. Let's continue. Chapter 9, verse 35. It says, "So the heart of Pharaoh was hardened, was hard. Neither would he let the children of Israel go, as the Lord has spoken by Moses." You see that? Yeah, it was said that he hardened his heart. And in some other places, God was said to have hardened his heart, which we will explore soon. There's some other places here, and the Lord hardened his heart. But it was not God that did it. Hallelujah. It was Moses' action. I mean, it was Pharaoh's action towards the gospel. So God is mentioned because the unbelief is towards God. Hallelujah. Is towards God. So that inactivity is not counted for his activity. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But remember, God did nothing. It was God doing nothing in that situation. Hallelujah. In unbelief, God does nothing. So that God doing nothing is the judgment. Look at Cain and Abel. Look at Cain. Cain went out of the presence of the Lord, sent out of the presence of God. Are you following me? So Cain will be without the presence of God. Do you see that? Inactivity. God inactivity. Is God doing nothing? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So in unbelief toward the gospel, God does nothing. That is the absence of God. That word is deep. Put it this way. That is the absence of God. That's true. That is away from God's presence. Let's have it as that in this section. Hallelujah. That is away from God's presence. So, unbelief In unbelief, God doing nothing is called God's word. I actually referred us here to the message on eternity. We said a few about that, right? So here to this is a message on eternity. We said a few about God's word there. A few. So don't take it as doctrine and hallelujah, but it just gave you an heading concerning God's word. Hallelujah. So, years after Moses was dead, Samuel being a prophet, will teach from where? Will teach from Moses. Did you see that? Moses is that prophet whom every other prophet will reference to. Every other prophet will quote Moses. We've always said that, right? Right? So, Moses is the prophet or every other prophet will quote from or will write from. So, in 1 Samuel 6, to make you know that in that world, they understood it. Listen, in that world, they understood that it was Pharaoh that hardened his heart, not God. But today we are fighting it because of our world. Are you following me? Look at what Samuel said. Samuel didn't say God hardened Pharaoh's heart. No, 1 Samuel 6. Look at it. Because in that world, you understood what they were talking about. Hallelujah. Are you following me? I hope you are learning something. 1 Samuel 6:6. Are you there? He says, why do you harden your heart? He's talking to them. Look at what he said. Why do you? He's talking to his audience now. Right? He tells them, why do you harden your heart? His audience. As the Egyptians and Pharaoh hardened their hearts when he did mighty things amongst them, they did not let the people go that they may depart. Do you see that? Why do you harden your heart? Glory to God. Why do you harden your heart as the Egyptians and Pharaoh hardened their hearts? Did you see that? So Samuel, he places the hardness of heart of the Israelites with that of Pharaoh and the Egyptians. You see that? He brings all of them. What does he do? He now unites his audience. Are you following me? The Israelites. He is uniting the Israelites, Pharaoh, and the Egyptians. Are you following me? He unites them. Hallelujah. And he says that what? Their hardness of heart is towards the same thing, the gospel. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Therefore, the hardness of Pharaoh's heart is the same. You see that? He mentions Pharaoh. And he says it's towards the gospel. He didn't say, and why does God harden your heart? No. He said, why do you harden your heart? Meaning in that world, they need to tell that hardened his heart, not God that hardened Pharaoh's heart. And it was the hardness of heart was towards the gospel. Hallelujah. 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 So in the Old Testament books, which is the 39 books, I will find a lot of events where it was believed that God did, but we would have to go through it again and reread them in the light of the four gospels and the epistles to see if truly God was the one carrying out that event. Hallelujah. So from Saturday, we'll begin to explore Exodus 17 verse 14. Was it God? When God said he would totally destroy the Amalekites, was it God that destroyed the Amalekites? Is God involved in death? When someone dies, can you say God killed the person? Does God kill? Hallelujah. Begin to look at this and many more on Saturday. Hallelujah. Have you learned something today? Have you learned something? Let's just be on our feet as we worship him.